comfort, peace, and forgiveness. They are yours, my friends. They are yours because Jesus the Christ lived and died and rose again for you. Amen. Dear fellow Advent worshipers, all I want is just a little bit of peace. Does that lament sound even vaguely familiar to you? Have you ever been in a situation that was so tense and so uncertain that you were actually afraid of how it was going to turn out? Have you ever been at a point in your life where there was so much turmoil and so much trouble that you simply wanted to escape and see if you could find just a little bit of peace? Ironically, this is the time of the year when many people experience more pressure than peace. Between all of the preparations that need to be made, all of the obligations that need to be met, and all of the expectations that we are striving to meet, it is not difficult to find ourselves getting to a point where we think, and perhaps even say, all I want is just a little bit of peace, please. During our Advent season this year, we are going to focus our attention on the Old Testament lesson for each of these Sundays, a lesson that will always come from the book of the prophet Isaiah, in an effort to connect the dots between these four Sundays in Advent. We're then going to follow a sermon series that is entitled Isaiah's Advent Gift of. On each of the Sundays in Advent, we'll look at a precious gift that the prophet Isaiah brings to us during this special time of the year. And as you might guess, today we are going to begin this series by looking at Isaiah's Advent Gift of Peace. Back in the days of the prophet Isaiah, God's people were not experiencing an extensive amount of peace. On the political front, the empire of Assyria was looming large over the nation of Israel and the nation of Judah like a giant cobra just getting ready to strike. On a spiritual front, the unfaithfulness of God's people to the covenant that the Lord God had established with them brought warning after warning after warning that God's justice was about to be poured out among them. And yet, in spite of all of that political unrest, in spite of all of that spiritual unfaithfulness, the Lord God comes to his servant Isaiah and he brings him a vision, a picture of beautiful peace. Let's start this morning then by looking at the source of this wonderful peace. Isaiah tells us, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many people will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. In order to grasp what the good Lord is emphasizing in this portion of our text, we need to go back and put ourselves into the sandals of the people who originally heard these words. The beloved city of Jerusalem sat majestically on top of the hill called Zion. The focus of the city of Jerusalem was the temple of the Lord, the source of peace for God's Old Testament people. But why? Why was the temple of the Lord in the beloved city of Jerusalem the source of peace for God's chosen people? Think about it, my friends. The temple of the Lord was the place where the sacrifices were made to atone for the sins of God's people. The temple of the Lord was the place where God's word was proclaimed to God's people. The temple of the Lord was the place where the God of heaven visibly dwelt among his chosen people. Recall how the glory of the Lord visibly appeared between the cherubim on the cover of the Ark of the Covenant, in the Holy of Holies, in the temple of the Lord, in the beloved city of Jerusalem. Well, if the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem was the source of peace for God's Old Testament children, what is our source of peace today? Where do we, God's New Testament children, children who are living in the last days, as Isaiah says here in our text, where do we find our source of true lasting peace? There is only one place, my friends. The only place to find true lasting peace is right here in the Christian church. When Isaiah's vision describes the mountain of the Lord's temple as being chief among the mountains, when Isaiah's vision describes the mountain of the Lord's temple as being raised above the hills, he is describing the preeminence which the Christian church will have in the last days in the New Testament era. While there are many different kinds of churches all across this world, and while there are all different kinds of religions being fed to the peoples of this earth, the Christian church ranks far above them all. Why? Because like the temple of the Lord in the Old Testament era, in these last days, only the Christian church has the privilege of serving as a source of peace for God's people. And no other church and no other religion is high enough to save God's people from the tsunami of their sins. But what sets the Christian church apart from all others? What gives the Christian church that unique position of being the only source of true lasting peace? The answer to that question is actually quite simple. The God of heaven has given to the Christian church here on this earth his precious means of grace. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ as it comes to us in God's holy word and God's holy sacraments. Through the message of the gospel, you hear the crucified and risen Christ himself say to you, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven." In the sacrament of Holy Communion, you have an unending source of unparalleled peace. Here at the Lord's table, you receive the very body and the very blood that was sacrificed on the cross of Calvary's Hill to secure true peace between you and the one and only living God. Since the Christian church is the only church that proclaims the sweet, simple message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Christian church is the only church that has the privilege of serving as the source of true peace for the peoples of this world. Does the peace which God's church provide to you, my friends, does that have any practical application in your day-to-day lives? It absolutely does. Look at the picture that Isaiah gives to us in verse 4 of our text. "He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore." Do not lose sight of the impact which these powerful words of peace had on God's people in the days of the prophet Isaiah. With the powerful Assyrian Empire just sitting there on the northern horizon, Isaiah's promise of peace undoubtedly brought a tremendous amount of comfort to God's people of old. And yet, these words of peace were written 2,700 years ago. How and when are these words of peace going to be fulfilled? There are three ways to answer that question. First, the ultimate fulfillment of Isaiah's promise of peace is met when a child of God, every time a child of God, is brought home to heaven. Heaven is most assuredly the place of perfect peace. The peace of heaven will then become the peace of earth when our Lord Jesus Christ returns to this earth at the end of the age. So that is the ultimate fulfillment of these words of Isaiah. Secondly, the peace which Isaiah pictures here in our text, the peace that comes to us through the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is a peace that you already possess. While I do not know the details of your own individual lives, the simple fact that we are all sinners living in a sinful world means that we all need to have a source of peace. That's why we come here to God's house on a regular basis. That's why we receive the Lord's Holy Supper on a regular basis. That's why we read and study our Bibles, not just here at church, but also in the privacy of our own home. We need that constant assurance that no matter what we have done, we can kneel at the foot of the cross on Calvary's Hill, ask our Savior to forgive us, and he always says, "My child, I already have. It is finished," Jesus says. No matter what sins we have committed, we can come to the altar of our Lord, receive his true body and his true blood in his holy supper, and hear that blessed truth: depart in the peace of knowing that your sins are forgiven. The third point that cannot be overlooked is that the peace which we will one day enjoy in the perfection of heaven, the peace that we now enjoy with the one and only living God, is a peace that we share with each other. Sometimes even God's people get into disputes and disagreements. Sometimes even God's people rise up against each other, not with swords and spears, but with angry words and sharp tongues and bitter remarks, with envy, jealousy, and prejudice, whether it's here in God's house or in the privacy of our own home. That precious gift of peace that God has freely given to us, that is what enables us, my friends. That is what empowers us to live in peace and harmony with each other. All I want is just a little bit of peace. If that lament sounds even vaguely familiar to you, I urge you to remember Isaiah's Advent gift of peace. Remember that through the means of grace, the God of heaven himself has given you an unending source of unparalleled peace. Remember that the peace which the crucified and risen Christ secured for you on the cross of Calvary's Hill is a peace that you will not only enjoy forever in heaven, but it's a peace that you can enjoy and share right now. May God grant that Isaiah's Advent gift of peace will always be yours. To God be the glory. Amen. Please rise.